looking now towards the ascension. The gospel is telling us about what's coming. And it's funny, the same gospel is used for the Passion, for Holy Week. You know, when he's telling his disciples, this is just before his last discourse in John 17. Jesus said to his disciples, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, I do bring you greetings in his glorious name as we wait for the day when he returns to us in joy. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't bother coming up here. You all wouldn't be. It's everything. You know, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to believe it. Did you ever have one of those moments of total confusion where you hear something and the only way you can react to it is with a blank stare, deer in the headlight? That sort of thing. Well, the Gospels tell us that on many occasions, Jesus' sayings were often misunderstood or not clear in the minds of those who heard what he had to say. Think about what we just read. A little while you shall not see me, a little while you shall see me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The disciples, however, had been catching on. They were starting to get it a little bit. They were close to the miracles. They saw the healings and heard the pronouncements of our Lord to those he came in contact with. They had been with him on his journey every day of his ministry. Imagine for a moment, the joy of waking up every morning with the Son of God and sharing a meal with him. Can't even imagine. We will, though. We will. Sitting at his feet as he spake, chatting with him as he walked from town to town, and lying down to go to sleep, knowing that just a few feet away, Jesus, the Christ, was next to you. Now, however, after 3 years together, Jesus began to talk of leaving them, of going back to the Father. He had alluded to this impending suffering and death, and as the Passover approached, and suddenly those conversations were getting more frequent. I can imagine him talking about it, and a month later he talked about it again. Now this is probably happening every week, and then soon every couple of days. What's going on? Well, I said, I would have been scared. I'm sure his disciples found all this at least a bit unnerving, for the gospel alludes to the level of uncertainty that they showed in hearing what our Lord was saying to them. I'm also sure that not one of them was prepared for what was going to happen with the coming of the Passover. The fellowship they shared at the Last Supper, the breaking of bread, would soon turn to the breaking of their spirit as Christ was beaten and ridiculed and then hung on the cross at Calvary. Their pronouncements of "not me, Lord," or even Peter's brash claim they would never deny the Christ, turned to fear and cowardice as the Lord dragged his cross through the streets of Jerusalem. I think we tend to blame Peter. I have in the past, but I think about it. What would we have done? We don't know. By the grace of God, but who knows? As the Lord was nailed to the cross, they hid in fear for their lives. They did not know what was coming, nor did they understand what was going to happen as Christ broke the chains of death. But our Lord knew. It was clear he was trying to break it to them gently, little bits and pieces of what's going to happen. To be careful of their feelings, give them as much as they could handle. You know, just, okay, they should hear all this, but I have to give it to them bit by bit. To not allow them to lose all hope. We understand that whoever loved someone to give you bad news, I gave you bad news yesterday about Father. You try to think more of their feelings than yours, even when you the bad news is about you. When Jesus spoke of his earthly demise, our Lord is already trying to comfort them because of their, as their disciples, he knew that those who wanted to put him to death would rejoice at his hanging on the cross. He knew that they would be mocked and their faith would be challenged. And in seeing him die, they would become lost, would be in terror, and that their lives would be filled with sorrow. Remember that Easter night they stood behind locked doors, scared to death. Yet he tells him, like a mother in childbirth, the pain is soon forgotten in the joy of seeing a new life brought into the world. The travail of the cross. In that new life where he comes back in his resurrected being on that first Easter morning. He knew they would rejoice at seeing him again once they knew that death had no power over him. And again, remember Easter morning? It took all of this a little time to settle in. The disciples did not recognize him. Thomas needed physical proof. Finally, they all realized that everything they had just experienced had now turned into eternal good. 3 days, and look at the change. Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, had returned to them in his resurrected body. For many who have trouble believing, we need only to turn to the lives of this small band of devoted followers to see the proof of our Lord's existence and his claims of being the Christ. These followers, after the death of this prophet, should have disappeared from history if the resurrection of the Lord had not occurred. They, like many throughout history, would have gone back to their homes, their families, and their professions, and like countless others who followed mere men, would have faded into obscurity. Think of people like Buddha and Muhammad. Yeah, they're still followers, but where are their bodies? They're in the ground. Our Lord's body is not in the ground. But not these followers, but not like these followers, they continue on. They traveled to many parts of the known world. They spread the news of the gospel and they talked about Jesus and repeated his words to all who would hear. In the end, many of them would face gruesome deaths, and yet they did not waver. St. Peter himself did not want to, didn't feel like he was worthy to die like a Lord, so he asked for his cross to be turned upside down. St. Andrew wanted it crossed in such fashion. The message of Christ spread by these followers, and it had endured for over 2,000 years. Man does not remain this committed to anything with such conviction without being true. They lived with him, they saw him die, and they saw the glory of the resurrection. They were there, and so are we. The message of this gospel passage is not just confined to the disciples who were with Christ, but to all of us today and throughout whole of history. Each of us in our own lives face many trials and tribulations that life gives us. There are days of peace and joy, days of pain and sadness, and certainly days of suffering, and yes, of death. There are also those days when the world assaults us and the values of the new age challenge what we have practiced and held dear as Christians in all of our lives. We see what is socially acceptable, replacing what is morally acceptable in God's eyes. The world tries to marginalize Jesus Christ by bringing him down to our level, make him equal with all the other prophets and historical teachers, and to convince men that men themselves should be the center of creation, not our Lord. It is often confrontational, more often very subtle, but it is real, and Christians find themselves today where they found themselves in the first century. In a sense, nothing has really changed. Objects of contempt, distrust, And that's, yes, even persecution. We hear of these priests and people being murdered in Nigeria simply for professing Christ. Yet through all of this, our Lord holds out his promise to us. You shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. And that is exactly what it is. The sorrow of Good Friday, the 3 days later. The travail, present travails of our life. But when he calls us home, we will be forever with him. As we share the eternal Lamb's feast, the Paschal Lamb will be with us in person. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.